Welcome back to the podcast. You're listening to Starting the Conversation. I'm your host, Alice Benham, and today's episode is a style that is always incredibly popular, which is a post-launch review. Now, these episodes are not just really popular in terms of downloads and always get great feedback, but they're also one of my favorite types of episodes to record. And that's because, first of all, I love analysis and data. My clients can attest to the fact that I'm always like, what can we learn from this action? What can we analyze here? How can we step back and reflect on this? I just think there is so much value in learning from the action that we've taken and then using those learnings moving forwards. I feel like business is just full of lessons if we take the time to look for them. And secondly, I love these episodes because I'm really passionate about documenting the behind the scenes of my business in a really honest and transparent way. I also try and do that whenever I have a guest on this episode, you know, get them to share a little bit of the reality of their business, not just the shiny stuff that you see online. And obviously the one business that I know I can share in a really, really honest way is my own. And I'm really committed to doing that. I feel like especially with launching, you can see people doing these like big noisy launches and celebrating hitting some, you know, figure, like, I don't know, a 10K launch or whatever, whatever. And it's so easy from an external perspective just to think like, oh my gosh, you are such a success. You've made so much money in a short space of time. Like, why can't I do that? Or like, I wish I could do that. I even do that. Like when I look at other people celebrating their launches, my brain doesn't remember probably all of the things that will have happened behind the scenes for them that I'm not seeing. So that's what I like to do in these episodes is go, yeah, I've had a launch. Let me tell you what went great. Let me celebrate some of the successes, but also let me explain to you how I did this. Like what things allowed me to achieve that launch result. And also, what things were really difficult? Like, what were some of the challenges that as an external perspective watching in, you might have never known were going on? I think there is just so much comfort and knowledge that we can gain from other people sharing their kind of behind the scenes and basically just going like, look, I did this thing. Here's how I did it. Here's what worked well. Here's what was hard. There you go. So if you enjoy this kind of episode, whether it's because maybe you are looking to do your own launch and you maybe want to see what you might be able to learn from mine, or if like me, you're just a little bit nosy and you're like, I just want to know what was really going on, I so hope that you find this week's episode valuable. And actually, I said the wrong thing there because it's not just one episode this week about launching. In a few days' time, there will be a bonus episode. That's right, two episodes coming out this week, also about this launch. Today's episode is going to be my kind of usual launch review where I'm going to be sharing the numbers, what went well, what the challenges were, what I might do differently if I were to do it again. And then in a few days' time, I'm going to be doing an episode which is debunking what passive income is really like. Because if you didn't see what I was launching the Strategy Shop, which is basically an online shop full of digital tools and resources and courses to help business owners. And that is quote unquote passive income. You know, the passive income that all the gurus are telling you is going to make you a millionaire and let you sit on a beach all day. So that episode is going to be basically sharing like, okay, let me tell you what passive income's really like. Let me break down the numbers. Like how profitable is it really? Do you really get to just like sit back and make a load of money, you know, whilst you sleep or whilst you sit on a beach? That is going to be a very honest episode that I've been itching to make. So if you're interested by that one as well, make sure to follow or subscribe wherever you're listening so that you hear that bonus episode in a few days' time. But before then, let's dive into today's topic, which like I said, is just going to be taking you through the numbers, the highs, the lows, and the lessons from this launch. As I said, I launched the Strategy Shop, which is a online shop of digital resources. And to give you a little bit of context, that Strategy Shop had 7 products in it. 4 of those 7 products were brand new and 3 were courses that I'd sold previously. So the 3 that I'd sold previously were courses that were super valuable, but were just gathering dust on my hard drive. And it really felt wrong that they were sat there not being used by anyone. They were on topics that people often ask me about. They're about email marketing, launch strategy, and growing a service-based business. So I put those 3 products into the shop. And then I also made 4 brand brand new products. One of those four was a clarity workbook, helping people to get more clarity on their purpose, their mission, their vision, and their values. And then three of the products, which were kind of like the hero products of this launch, they really took center stage, were the finance files, which was a set of three spreadsheets to help business owners plan, track, and manage their finances. They were not the only products available, but they were the ones that I was mainly talking about. A, because they were kind of the three brand new ones. B, because they were the ones that I felt would be the most kind of impactful and like widely accessible. And C, because I love talking about money and they were about money. That is what I launched, for a bit of context, if you didn't see me launching and know what I'm talking about. So let's then dive in to the numbers in this launch, because that's what you want to hear, right? Alice, tell us how much money you made. That's what we're here for. To start us off, there were a total of 68 sales. So 68 different people bought something or multiple things from the shop. And that amounted to a total revenue of £11,600, excluding VAT. If you then do some maths with those two numbers, the average order value, so the average amount that each customer was paying, was £170. Now, I've mildly rounded a couple of these numbers just for ease, but average order value of £170. And when I try and work out the profit, which is really hard to do with something digital, but when I think about the amount that I paid my team, the amount I paid for my accountant to approve the financial products, and also the amount that I paid for my software, the profit works out at around £10,000. So there was about £1,500 worth of costs. Now, obviously, that is not including my time. If you want to know how much it made me if I were paying myself my normal hourly rate, then listen to the episode coming out later in this week, because that is really the bit that matters, I think. People ignore that with passive income. It's just like, oh my God, that's £10,000 of free money. But like, a lot of that £10,000 can be directly linked to the time that it took me to make and market those products. But that is a conversation for quite literally another episode. So yeah, a rough revenue of 11,600, profit of around 10,000, and 68 sales. It's obviously worth saying that those figures are excluding VAT, but they are including tax. So before you think I just have £10,000 in my bank account, I do not. But yeah, that was the end kind of rough profit figure. And at a glance, like, those are numbers that I am really happy with. I came into this launch with like very, very little expectation. I don't think it's helpful to have really rigid expectations when you've never done something of that kind before. You know, it's kind of just unfair on yourself. If I'd come into this being like, I really, really expect this to make £15,000 or £20,000, like, I could have set that vision for myself and I was stretching myself to there. I would have loved to get there. But actually, I just went into this launch really curious. I'd never launched something like this before. I didn't know if my audience would want it. I didn't know if I would be able to sell it very well. Like, obviously, I had a fair bit of confidence in those things. Otherwise, I wouldn't have put all the work in. I was really curious, is what I'm trying to say here. I didn't go into it with super rigid goals. I do go into my course launches with quite rigid goals, but that's purely because I've launched so many programs and courses that I really know what is kind of quote unquote good for me. Next time I launch a digital product, I would definitely have clearer goals because I would know kind of what to expect based on this data. I can tell you, I am very, very happy with those figures. My kind of benchmark in my head was like, oh, I'd love to make £10,000 of sales. And then when we got to 11,600, I was like, oh my gosh, yes, we did it. Like, that just felt, I don't know. 10K is such a made up like goal, isn't it? You know, we hear people say all the time, like 10K launch or 10K month. But I think for me, there was just something about that figure of like, if I can make £10,000 from a thing that is like digital, like, I don't have to go and deliver it, like, that would just blow my mind. And it did that. And I'm so, so, so grateful and really, really pleased. A few of the other numbers which you might be interested in is that the opening sale lasted for 11 days. So I launched it on a Monday and I closed the sale the following Friday. Because it's a digital product, they didn't stop being sold on that Friday, but that Friday was when the 26% off opening sale began. I did an opening sale, A, to celebrate that it was new, B, to drive conversion, C, because it was my 26th birthday, and D, because I wanted to thank people who are kind of early adopters. So there was an 11-day open period with 26% off. And then the marketing numbers, and these are always fascinating to me. Over that 11-day period, I promoted the strategy shop via 6 emails, 3 podcast episodes, 11 Instagram videos, And wait for it, this is always sickening to count, 77 Instagram stories. Oh, and a LinkedIn post. Don't forget that little singular LinkedIn post. Quite a few pieces of content over an 11-day period. I feel like I don't do a ton of social media content and emails. Like, I try and kind of go for a bit of a like quality over quantity approach. So over a 2-week period, that felt like a lot for me. It was very much like visibility and promotion every single day. So those are the top level numbers. Now let's look at some of the things that I felt helped to contribute to that revenue and those number of sales being achieved. And I've got 5 things that I want to run you through here. This episode, by the way, is definitely the kind of one that you might want to take notes to because I got a lot of ground to cover, but I'm going to try and keep it brief so that we can keep this moving. So the first thing that I think worked really well, and this is in no particular order, was having a bundle for the finance products. So if you didn't see, the 3 finance products I had, Plan, Track, and Manage, were able to be purchased individually, but I designed them to fit really well together. Like, they were basically a 3-step process. The Plan, the Track, and the Manage kind of flowed. So alongside people being able to buy them individually if they just needed help in one area, I also had a bundle where people could get all 3 for a pretty significant discount. The vast majority of my sales, like I would confidently say, probably more than 75% of my revenue and my sales over that launch were from the bundle. Now, it's hard to know. If I didn't have the bundle, would those people have sat there and added all 3 products to cart? I'm unsure. I'm sure it helped to increase my average order value, because maybe if people were thinking about buying 2, the way that I did the bundle pricing was that if you bought 2, I think you would only be paying like £10 extra to just get all 3. So it was interesting to see kind of so many people going for that full bundle. And I guess the incentive being the kind of discount that they could get on that, and the fact that, you know, you've bought 1 and then you're just good to go. You've got everything you need with your business finances. I feel like that worked really well. And I would definitely be interested in future to explore bundles, but maybe with like other products. You know, could I create like a marketing bundle or a service-based business owner bundle? Like, how can I play around with kind of giving people not just 1 piece of the puzzle, but maybe a few of those pieces that fit really nicely together? So that's the first thing that I think worked really well. The second thing that I think worked super well for me, and it's a very old trick, I have used it for almost every single one of my launches, was utilizing an element of mystery and secrecy before launch day. Now, this is only a trick that you can use if whatever you're launching is new. You can't use it. Well, you could use it if you're launching something you've launched before, but your audience might be a little bit miffed or confused when, you know, the secret's out and it's the same thing that you launched 6 months ago. If it's something brand new, you really, in your pre-launch phase, can lean into an element of secrecy. You can get people guessing what it is, you can be giving hints, you can be giving clues, and leaning into that is so effective because it gets people engaged in a way that is like fun for them. It's not just saying like, I'm launching something soon. Like, who gives a damn, right? Like, no one cares that you're launching something. But if you bring them with you, if you let them in on the journey, if you give them something to maybe contribute, if you give them a reason to be interested, immediately people are that much more engaged. So I put out a post a few days before launch and I was just like, I've been working on this secret thing for 5 years. Here's 3 hints. There's a clue in the background. And like, you guys just blew me away with your detective skills. People were like commenting, like reading other people's comments, trying to figure out which, you know, based on my reply to the guesses, whether I was telling them they were, you know, on the right track or not. People were DMing me with their guesses, being like, I don't want anyone else to see this, but is it this? Like, people were so in on like the excitement of guessing what it was. And that was really fun for me to feel like, oh, people are kind of interested and excited. And I also think it then helped because on launch day, everyone was kind of leaning in. You know, it didn't mean that then on launch day, it was like, hey, I've got this new thing. And everyone's like, oh, didn't know you had a new thing coming. Like, I'm not really paying attention. On that Monday when I launched, I was getting messages being like, what is the secret thing? I can't wait to find out. You know, turning on the notification bell to find out when I announced it just meant that then when I launched the strategy shop and told everyone what it was, there were so many more eyes on that announcement than I think there would have been if I hadn't have kind of leaned into that secrecy. So that worked super well for me. And like I said, it's something I've utilized pretty much every time I've launched something that's new, because why not? It's such a great technique to use in that pre-launch period. The third thing that worked really well for me within this launch was creating content where the primary focus was just giving value. Now, I know this probably seems super obvious, right? The serve before you sell, like give people a taster of what you're selling and they'll buy it. And as much as that's the case, typically in the past when I've sold maybe like programs or courses or retreats, you know, it's maybe been a higher investment. I've needed people to maybe be a little bit more sure on like what it actually is and how it works and like why I might be the person for them. Whereas actually, because these digital products just have such a clear kind of value, they solve a really clear problem, I could kind of just lean into like helping people with that problem in my content, and then the call to action just be like, well, if you want my help with this, go and buy this thing. Like, it was really, really fun to be able to create launch content, which was actively selling, but actually was giving out a ton of value. You can see examples by just having a scroll through the Reels tab on my Instagram. And you can see a lot of the content that got quite high engagement was actually me just sharing some financial tips and tools and expertise. And I think that really helped because it kind of solidified with people like, ah, she knows her stuff. Ah, this is a topic that's resonating with me. Ah, maybe I need help with this. And I think that worked well with this launch because then the digital products were quite a kind of easy yes in terms of their price point and the fact that people could pay over payment plans. I really enjoyed being able to create content that felt like I was just giving value. Also, on that note, this rarely happens to me, but I grew in follower number over the launch. Normally, a launch kind of makes everything decline. You know, you get email unsubscribes, people unfollow you, and like, fair enough, you are talking very consistently and in a pretty salesy way about something. People usually tend to kind of step back a little bit. But interestingly, I think I left the launch with a good like 200 to 300 followers more than I had at the start. And I put that down to a lot of the launch content, if not kind of all of the launch content on my Instagram grid, being really focused on giving value. So I think that was something that worked really well for me. It helped sales, it grew my audience, and also it felt really good for me. Like, I was showing up every day, but it didn't really feel particularly salesy or repetitive because I felt like I was just giving free expertise. And it was kind of like, yeah, well, if you want to buy, you can, but let me actually just give you this tip first. And I love it when content feels that way. So that was the third thing that worked well. The fourth and penultimate thing that I think worked well with this launch is that I felt like I was super transparent about what the products were. And this isn't me kind of tooting my own horn. It's just me reflecting on, I think, with digital products, what often the hesitation can be is that it's a bit like, well, I don't really know what I'm going to get. You know, when you're getting something digital, you know you're getting this kind of finite thing, right? It's not going to change. There's not Q&A at the end, so you can make sure it's kind of meeting your need. It's not something one-to-one where, you know, you ensure that it's a right fit for you. Like, you are buying this very set, rigid thing. And often I find, from my perspective, my hesitation with buying something digital is just like, well, what if it's not really the thing I'm looking for? Like, there's no way that they can make a workbook or a spreadsheet or a whatever perfect for everyone. So what if it's not right for me? And I thought about that. And I also thought about the fact that I would absolutely hate if someone bought it and it wasn't helpful for them. So what I did was I created a video tour, which literally showed people inside out the products. Now, I'm sure some people will hesitate to do this because there's maybe that fear of like, what if people copy, or like, I don't know, what if they rip it off? But genuinely, I came from the perspective of like, if you want to copy these spreadsheets, like, be my guest. They took me days to make. If you want to do that yourself, go for it. But to me, even if a couple of people copy them, it is worth it to give people that inside look so that if people were on the fence, I wasn't going, yeah, buy them, you need them, you must have them. I could just go, look, go and watch this. If they look like what you need, go for it. If they're not, no pressure. I really think that helped increase conversion because it gave people an instant sense of exactly what they were buying, and then they trusted them. Of course, that was only if they felt like they were right for them. If they weren't right for them, they didn't buy them, and then I didn't have to handle having an unhappy customer. But if they did watch that video and think it's right for me, that kind of sold it for me. So I would absolutely do that again with a digital product. Just be really open about exactly what it is, because A, I don't want people buying it who it isn't for, and B, if anyone's on the fence, I want to give them the information they need to make their decision of whether it's going to be what they need. And then finally, the fifth thing that I felt really helped with this launch, and this might not be one that everyone can replicate, but if I'm being honest, I definitely think helped with kind of such a high revenue, I guess, for something that was brand new within a 10-day period, is that I, for the last 8 years, have been selling fairly inaccessible offers, but growing my community. What I mean by that is in 8 years, I haven't really sold anything at these kind of price points before. I've sold workshops, I've sold my stationery, you know, my planners, but I've never really sold like digital tools to help people in their business. It's all been a lot of one-to-ones and then the odd retreat or group program or course. And I think because whilst I was doing that, I was also growing my community, I probably had a lot of people in my audience who were wanting something from me, you know, curious to get my expertise in their business, but I just wasn't giving them something at the kind of price point or perhaps level of support that they were at. You know, different people are going to have different desires for how much they are wanting to pay, but also just kind of what level of support they might need from me. They might be the kind of people that would never want one-to-one support. So they've been sat in my community for years, perhaps, thinking like, yeah, she sold something that I would actually buy, I'd get it. And I just hadn't done that before. I do think this launch was massively helped by the fact that I've never really sold anything like this before, but I've had a massive focus on nurturing and community growth and honing my expertise over the last 8 years, because it likely meant there are a lot of people there who were kind of ready and waiting and relevant to buy. Like I said, not everyone is going to be able to duplicate, but I would say, and I say this to my clients as well, who talk to me about passive income, I would always recommend really, really honing your expertise and getting great at what you do, building a community and getting people to the place where they're like, oh, I want something from them, but like not quite that high level offer. That is the perfect place to get to before you sell passive. If you sell a digital product from like day one, I'm not saying it's not possible or it won't work, but it's quite hard. I've seen people do it firsthand. I've walked through it with a lot of my clients. Whereas if you kind of follow the similar route that I've taken, which is like build the community, build the expertise, get people to trust you, have some offers in there which maybe aren't super accessible in terms of price point, then when you introduce something that's digital and that bit more accessible, there are so many people there that are kind of ready and waiting for it. So that's the final thing that I think really helped with this launch. Now, let's get onto the list of the not so positive things. Let's talk about the challenges. Let's talk about what didn't go well. Let's talk about what I feel in reflection. Yeah, wasn't quite the best. This is always the list that I am most interested to see. I always go into a launch being like, I wonder if I can predict what I'm going to list as the challenges. And I never can, because I guess if I could predict them from the start, then I would avoid them. Like, these are always things that during launch, I'm really surprised by. Although having said that, the first challenge I'm going to share is definitely not something I was surprised by, but something that I just don't think I'm ever going to get good at, which is firstly, sticking it out in the middle of launch when no one is buying. Every single launch I do and every single launch I walk through with my clients, I see the same pattern. There is usually a peak when the thing first goes on sale. There is then a major drop and often a little bit of a tumbleweed moment in the middle of launch. And then there is a big peak of sales right at the end of that launch period. And my oh my, did that happen with this launch. I had kind of a few sales coming in the first week. I wasn't expecting too much at the start because people didn't know what it was. I'd never sold anything like this before. I knew it was going to take a bit of time for people to kind of get their heads around it. But I remember I'd maybe made like, you know, a few thousand that the first 5 days. And then it hit the weekend and it was like Saturday, no sales. And I was like Sunday, no sales. And then Monday, I was like, surely no sales. And I remember on that Monday being like, should I just stop the launch here? Like, does anyone else care? Maybe no one else wants them. And obviously I didn't. I wouldn't have, because I've seen this happen enough times to know that you've got to stick it out in the middle. But even though I expect it now, I know it's part of the process, it doesn't particularly get easier because it's tough. You have to trust the process. You have to keep showing up even when it seems like no one is interested. And then what happened later that week? After I stuck it out and kept showing up, over 50% of sales came in the last 36 hours. The final 36 hours, over £5,000, actually not even 5,000, over like £6,000 of sales came in. I didn't know that all of those people were ready and waiting to buy. They were silently watching, waiting, maybe just looking for a bit more convincing, maybe waiting for the discount to end closer so they had a bit more, you know, reason to buy soon. But all of those people were there. I just didn't know it. I had to stick it out in the middle of launch when it felt like no one was interested, and I had to keep going. So that was the first challenge. And like I said, I knew that challenge was going to happen, but just because you know it's going to happen doesn't necessarily make it much easier. And I'm always looking for ways to experiment with that. I'm often trialing shortening my launch periods. So, you know, how could I avoid the dip? What if my sales were only open for, say, 5 days? I didn't do that with this because it was a brand new thing. I knew I wanted to give it time and really let people see the products and really explain a lot of the kind of messaging around it. But in future, I would definitely trial maybe like a Monday to Friday or like a 5 day period and just see if that dip in the middle is still super prominent. So that was the first challenge. The second challenge, did not expect to floor me in the way that it did. Like, if there is one thing I wish I had been more prepared for when it came to selling kind of passive products, it would be this. It would be the fact that my fear of people not liking the products or finding them valuable or just thinking they're not very good was immense. And I'm going to explain exactly where this fear came from, because as soon as it started cropping up, I was like, oh, this makes total sense to me. I have a major comfort zone with one-to-one. I have been delivering one-to-one for 8 years. I have spent more hundreds, if not thousands of hours on Zoom than I'd like to admit. And I'm very, very comfortable working with my clients one-to-one. I know that I deliver a good service. I know that I'm helpful to them. And I kind of feel very comfortable with that. I have a real comfort zone there. Selling digital products, though, I don't have a comfort zone in. That was brand new for me. That was a format that I had never delivered my expertise in. And it honestly felt like I was learning to walk for the first time. Now, this is true, I think, anytime you diversify in business. And I've seen it happen for a lot of my clients. Maybe for them, it's going from one-to-one to group or from group to a membership. Whenever we change the format of how we're sharing our expertise, often it will feel a little bit like we are doing that thing from scratch, even though it's the same expertise, because we're applying it in a different way or sharing it in a different way, it can feel so clunky, so uncomfortable, so scary. And that is absolutely how this felt for me. I would genuinely get like a feeling of dread in my stomach whenever a sale came through. And I know that might sound dramatic. You know, obviously, Alice, you didn't feel that. You were like excited because you just made this money. But like genuinely, that is exactly how it was. A sale would come through. It'd say like, you know, X name has purchased the finance bundle. And the first thing in my head would be like, oh my gosh, what if they hate it? What if they think it's rubbish? What if they don't like it? What if it doesn't work? I was, and continue to be, if I'm honest with you, so worried and insecure about the value of those products. And that is not because they were not tested and proven, because they absolutely were. I got a lot of people to test them. I paid an accountant to check that they were the right fit for people. It wasn't that. I think for me, it was more the lack of control. I am absolutely someone who values control. And when I work with people one-to-one or even in a group setting, I have a sense of, you know, how people are doing. I know if one of my clients perhaps isn't quite getting what they want or need, I can then cater my work to suit that. I have a feedback loop. You know, even when I'm delivering a group program or a course or a workshop, I can see people's faces or their comments or their feedback. There's a kind of live element. I know how people are doing. I have then that kind of data that tells me it's okay. They like it. They're happy. You're okay. You don't get that with digital products. Don't get me wrong, a couple of people would message and be like, I love them, they're amazing. And those people, if you're one of the people listening that sent me a message like that, the message you sent was so, so needed. So thank you, because that was the kind of affirmation that I was craving. But with passive, you really don't get that kind of instant feedback loop or gratification or control. And for me, that was super hard. I really struggled across the launch period not to feel anxious about, like I said, what people thought of them, whether they'd be good enough, if they would be helpful. I just had to keep trusting, like, look, I've made these, I've checked them, I've tested them, they are good enough. It's okay. People are going to find them valuable. I wonder if that might sound a little bit silly, but that really was the biggest mindset challenge for me in launch, was realizing, oh, I'm selling something digital and now I'm worried that people will hate it. Like, genuinely, that was huge. So that was the biggest challenge for me. But moving on to challenge number three, this is kind of just one of the things from a marketing perspective that I'm like, maybe I should do that a little bit differently in future. With this launch, I didn't have a wait list, i.e. I didn't have any way for people to kind of register interest and therefore have that like smaller email list of people that I knew would want the thing. Now, that was hard to do for this launch because, as I said earlier, I utilized secrecy. So I didn't tell people what was launching until launch day. So I don't really know how I could have made a wait list and make sure that those people were relevant because, yeah, anyone could have joined it. They didn't know that I was launching financial products. So how do I know that that wait list would have been relevant? And then that kind of defeats the object of a wait list. But what I will say is because I didn't have a wait list, I kind of felt like I was spamming my whole email list, which is not really how I like to do things. Like, I approach my email marketing with my whole list being where I send my kind of weekly emails to. They're called the midweek. I give people a weekly insight into my high, my low, and my lesson of the week. And that's kind of all I really like to do to my whole list. And then what I will do when I'm selling something specifically is I will encourage people from my list and from my other platforms to join a wait list. So I'll make this smaller group of people that I know are relevant and interested, and those are the people I will promote to much more consistently and kind of, I guess, like in a salesy way. But because I didn't have a wait list and I knew that email, you know, is a great platform for sales, and for me it's always such a high converting platform, I kind of ended up having to like slightly spam my email list. I think I ended up sending 3 emails a week across the 2 weeks. So 6 emails total, which, you know, I'm not emailing them every single day, but when I normally email them once a week, like 6 times over a 2-week period, to me was a little bit more than I perhaps wanted to do. And I definitely noticed a few people unsubscribing, and I was like, maybe if I'd have had an interest list and kind of more promoted to them, that wouldn't have happened. But email unsubscribes are always going to happen in a launch. I just noticed that because I didn't have a wait list, the email marketing perhaps wasn't as intentional and comfortable for me as it could have been. But that was just one of the challenges I wanted to mention. And then the final challenge I'll mention was actually to do with the sales page, which is that I don't think the sales page was very good. I'm not saying that to be like, woe is me, or like send me a message saying like, no, I loved the sales page. I think the sales page looked good, but I felt like I could have had more detail on there. You might be thinking like, Alice, if you realize that, like, why didn't you edit it? The challenge is integrating an online shop with my website creates limitations. People purchase the products via Podia, which is where I host my digital products, but my website is Squarespace. So what I did for this launch was use code to kind of embed the products into my website. The options for that are really limited. It kind of meant that there was like a short description for each of the products, but I couldn't really say any more than that. It was very limited by the number of characters. When I think about when I buy digital products, I really like to like properly understand, especially when they're at the kind of higher price point for a digital product. You know, if they're like £100 to £200, like I want to know like exactly what's included, who this is for. I want to read some FAQs. And I definitely felt like a lot of that could have been added to the sales page. I was answering a lot of questions in my DMs and in my emails that I was like, oh, if I just had a more sophisticated sales page, this could have been answered there. So that's something for me to figure out for a future sales perspective, how I can make that sales page more detailed, but still have it kind of embedded onto my website. I really want people to feel like they are buying from my website, so it's that kind of smooth experience. But yeah, that was kind of the one of the things that I was like, oh, when I improve this website in future, I feel like it's going to increase the conversion rate. So that's one of the things I'm excited to do when I launch again. Now, before I share a little bit about kind of what's next for me with passive launches, I would kind of conclude what I've just shared, you know, the numbers, what worked well and what was challenging, by just reminding us all that there may be trends and there may be changes in consumer behavior and what's going on in the world, but time after time, the theory of selling always stays the same. It amazes me how many launches I've done. I think my first launch was in 2019. It's like 5 years ago now. Every single launch, the conclusions have been slightly different. Every single launch, the learnings have been slightly different. But the kind of overarching conclusion is often the same, which is that in order to sell, we've got to show up consistently. We've got to show people what we're selling, not just tell people what we're selling. And also, we've really got to trust the process. Like, a launch takes a lot from you. It's a lot of trust. It's a lot of input. It's a lot of holding the energy. But the actual route to selling is fairly simple, right? It's just showing up. It's giving value. It's showing people the thing that you're selling. It's being consistent with it. It's bringing that energy that kind of creates that infectious feeling to people where they're like, oh, they're excited about this. I want to be excited about this too. I may be a quote unquote expert in marketing or launch strategy, but don't let that make you think I don't find launches challenging too. Like, they take a lot from you, and they can give a lot back. That's what I love about a launch. If you put a lot in, you often get a lot back. Like, I'm really, really pleased by the results that that launch gave me and gave my business, but it didn't take nothing, is all I'll say. Launches do take a lot from you. So that's why I think it's always important when you do launch to just have that mindset of kind of full commitment and really, really trusting the process. Because as I said, with that example of kind of the middle point in launch where no one's buying, they're the bits that really test you. And I think launches are so much more a kind of mindset and mental challenge than they often are kind of a practical and a marketing one. So thinking about what is next, kind of two things on my radar, which is first of all, when I launch another product into the strategy shop, I am definitely going to implement a lot of those challenges. So I'm going to think about creating a wait list or an interest list. I'm definitely going to consider how I can experiment with a shorter sales period to have less of a dip in the middle. And I think I'll also, well, I don't think, I hope I have improved my sales page by then. So that's increasing conversion. And I'm sure I'll repeat a lot of the things that worked well from this one because, hello, rinse and repeat, figure out it works, do it again. So that's kind of what I'll do next time I launch a passive product into the strategy shop. And then past that point, it's really now for me to work out how to sell these products on an ongoing basis. You know, the launch is done, but that doesn't mean you can't buy them now. They're still in the shop. And I don't just want these products to make sales when they're brand new or when I'm doing a big promotion. So I'm definitely going to think about how I can sell them on an ongoing basis. You know, going to be thinking about creating sales funnels, perhaps doing like nudges towards them within my organic content, maybe testing some paid ads, which I haven't done since 2020. So I'm really excited to explore that because kind of ongoing selling of a product that is kind of always available isn't really something I've been able to do much within my marketing before. I've often sold things that kind of have a limited capacity, you know, there's only 10 available or they're only on sale until the end of this Friday. So it's going to be fun to kind of explore how to do that kind of ongoing selling in my business. It's something I do a lot with and for my clients, but never been able to apply it to my own business before, which is always fun. But I'm sure when I do that in future, I will bring you on the journey with me and share the lessons from that too. So there we have it for a little launch review. These episodes always feel super chaotic from my side. I feel like I've just talked you through like a million bullet points in front of me. So I really, really hope that you have found this interesting, valuable, thought-provoking, you know, whatever you feel that you're taking from this, whether it's something practical for you to bring into your own launch, or whether it's just a reminder that like there is always more work and challenges going on behind the scenes than we can often imagine with these kind of like shiny big launches. I really hope that you have taken value from this. If anything from this episode particularly resonated, if you enjoyed it, if you've got a question for me, if you want to share more about your experience of launching, I would absolutely love to hear from you. And I really mean that when I say it. You know, it's great to see the numbers on this podcast, but I really care about you, the listener, you know, the people listening. So come and pop me a message over on Instagram or LinkedIn, or pop me an email, get in touch however you fancy, and let me know what you thought of this episode. Please do share it with your community or with others if you feel it might be valuable for them. And like I said, in a few days, I'm going to be back with another episode to talk about what passive income is really like and whether I think it is quite as enticing as the gurus make it seem. So make sure to subscribe or follow wherever you're listening so you don't miss out on that. I hope you've enjoyed hearing more about my launch. Go and check out the strategy shop. There's some great products in there.